You know, God is our Father. He's our Creator. We know these things. We forget some stuff. We sometimes take them for granted, don't we?
Yeah.
Yesterday was one of the most beautiful days that I have seen in such a long time. I had a day to relax, be by myself. I sat on the front porch, and I needed God. I needed to help me come up with this, to speak to you. And I sat on my front porch, and I looked up, and just that beautiful, crisp air, the little breeze, wasn't too cold. Sitting up there looking at the sky, the beautiful blue sky, and these clouds. And just talking to Him and saying, thank you. Thank you for letting me see. We've also had beautiful sunsets here recently. I mean, cotton candy clouds at the end of the day. Just beautiful. And you think of all the things. We've got a lot of people that have been around the world. Betty's been to Hawaii. What a sight. You have seen some things. We've all seen some pretty sights. Whether you leave Petersburg or not, you've seen some pretty sights. And as we look at these sights and we're just taken away by what we see, if you go up in the mountains, Skyline Drive, and you pull over and you overlook that valley from up on high on the mountain, how about going to the beach? Beautiful beach. Geraldine's not here this morning, but I thought she would be because there's a story that Tammy told me when she was the driver and she drove Geraldine and I don't know who else. I believe there was another lady. And they went to the ladies' retreat at the beach. And I'll never forget this. That they got to the beach and Geraldine was looking at the ocean. Tears were running down her face. And Tammy was like, are you okay? What's wrong? She said, I'd never seen the ocean before. She was crying because of how beautiful and how awesome God's creation is.
Amen.
Now, this is what we can see. This is what everyone, whether you're a believer or whether you're not, God tells us in Romans, Everybody sees His eternal power and divine nature. Everybody sees this. Can you imagine this is all going to go away? It's going to be destroyed. We're not staying here. We're going somewhere else. We're going to be with Him. Now, if this is just this physical world that He created, how? We can't fathom where we're going. What is it going to be like? How great is God? What has He created? What Jesus went back to prepare a place for us. What does that place look like? We can't imagine. We're taken back by these physical, beautiful things that He's made in this material world, and we're taken back. How much more where we're going? We talked about that this morning in class. Looking forward to going there. So, I just want to talk about God's awesomeness. The scripture reading, we've had classes, it's about God's sovereignty. And that's the classes we've been having on Wednesday night. And Russ did one of those classes, they all opened my eyes, but about God's sovereignty, who He is, our sovereign Lord. He says, I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is no one like me. I make known the end from the beginning. From ancient times, what is still to come? I say my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. All the way back from the Garden of Eden, God made the prophecy of Christ. And from there were prophecy after prophecy. Jesus fulfilled the prophecies. There are more prophecies that have not been fulfilled yet. He hasn't come back. He's coming back. And if you look at Jesus' walk to the cross, whatever God says, what he declares is going to happen, is going to happen. Satan won't stop him. Man won't stop him. God's will is going to be done. And if you look at Jesus' walk to the cross, you think about him telling the disciples what's going to happen to him. And Peter stands up and said, no, I'm not going to let that happen. He said, get behind me, Satan. You think of the people, they wanted him to be king. They were going to grab him and make him king. No. Pilate did not want to crucify Jesus. He wanted to get out of it. He washed his hands. He still went to the cross. Nothing is going to stop God's will. That is his sovereignty. What he wants to do, he does. And nobody is going to stop him. And his purpose? What is his purpose? His purpose is to bring everyone back into a relationship with him. That's his purpose. And he is going to do everything that he can to bring us to him. Whether we decide that we want to go into his loving arms is up to us. But he's going to do everything for that to happen. I've got a friend I've caught up with that is struggling in her relationship with God. And just to cut her life story short, I went to school with her. Her parents divorced when she was in her late teens, early 20s. She went to college. She found love. She got married. His parents died tragically, and he turned to drugs. Got hooked on drugs. And just made a mess of both of their lives, and she divorced him. She got married again. Has three beautiful daughters. She has a sister. She's married and she's got a child. And 3 or 4 years ago, she was diagnosed with cancer. Since she was diagnosed with cancer, both of their parents, within a year, died. Leaving my friend to take care of her sister. As she battles this cancer, as she takes radiation, chemotherapy, and surgeries, and watching her suffer, and trying to stay strong for her niece, trying to stay strong for her to be a mother to her daughters. And to top it all off, now she's struggling in her marriage. So we're just texting on Facebook. And she wrote to me, she said, I don't know why he puts his faithful through suffering, yet the ones who couldn't care less about him live long lives. Now, I know some of y'all's stories. We've all suffered. We've all suffered. I can't imagine where she's at. I can't imagine. I have not been in the situation where I've watched somebody suffer. I know you have, Judy. I know you have. Lindy, I thought of you. And Tom, and Brian, and what you went through, and how tough that must have been. I can't imagine. It seems like she was saying, it's not fair. It's not fair. And I thought about Peter. When he was reinstated and him and Jesus were walking on the beach and he had told him all that he was going to have to suffer. And he looked back and he said, what about him? And Jesus told him, if I let him live till I come back, what is that to you? The man born blind, the disciples and Jesus walk up to him. And they ask Jesus, who sinned, him or his parents? And Jesus said, neither him nor his parents sinned. That man was born blind so that the work of God might be displayed in him. Amen. And Paul, when Jesus was talking to Ananias, he said that he was going to let Paul know everything that he would have to suffer in his name. What I'm talking about is God's sovereignty. He says, and it is. He says what's going to be. He is in control. A lot of people hold this against him, but we want him in control. We don't want to be in control. We can't be in control. It's ludicrous. He has all the power. But I feel for her. It's all about God's purpose. And suffering is part of that. I don't like to suffer. Nobody likes to suffer. In fact, what do we do to get out of suffering? Sometimes trying to stay away from suffering causes more suffering. We're gluttons for punishment is what it is. I don't like to see suffering. That crushes me. That's why I can't imagine what y'all went through and what you are still going through. It's almost as if you would rather suffer yourself than to see someone else suffer. It's so painful. The world thinks of prosperity and blessing. You know, I've had someone say, well, you must be living right. Had some pretty good jobs going on. I was like, no, it doesn't work that way. And then when you see somebody suffering and they think some reason they brought it on themselves, you know, it's some kind of curse they put on themselves for suffering. Well, what if we swap those around? Could we say that suffering is a blessing? Could we say that prosperity can become a curse? Can you say suffering is a blessing? Let me ask you, when has your faith gotten stronger? Tom and Lindy, how strong? How much stronger is your faith? Much stronger. Judy, you're strong in the faith. What does your suffering do for the rest of us? Is there a benefit of watching somebody suffer? Let me tell you what God has given to us. And I bring him up all the time, but Rick C. How did his suffering benefit us? I saw a man of faith, a man of God. I got to witness that. I got to see that. Everyone got to see that. What an amazing faith. What a terrible, terrible time he had. But how he had the strength to get through it. And he got through it. Amen. And he did well. What happened because of that? Sandy C. Russ was up here. He said, who spent more time with Sandy C than Russ? During all that time, he said, Sandy came back to the Lord. That is what Rick wanted so bad. How many prayers? Would Rick have done what he voluntarily gone through what he to bring Sandy back to the Lord? I think he would. That is amazing. Amen. The perseverance. We know this to be true. 2 Peter 3, chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with us. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, he's so patient with me. Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Nobody. He wants everybody. And he's patient. We have people in our lives that aren't with Christ. We want desperately them to understand. And they struggle with the fact of all this suffering. Either God's not strong enough, he's not powerful enough to stop the suffering, or he doesn't care. How many people have people in your lives like that? I've got that I love, and it's like, why don't they see? Why don't they see how loving God is? My friend needs to know this, and we know this, that God uses the good, the bad, and the ugly. He uses them. In his infinite wisdom to bring everyone into his loving arms. We don't understand everything about God. We know that he loves us. We have no idea how he does what he does. We have no idea. Whether it's creation, whether it's salvation, we don't know. We don't understand the love that he has for us. But we still need to struggle, and we do struggle to find that love. And the whole fairness thing, God. And this is one of the biggest things I got out of that Wednesday night. God is not fair. God is not fair. And I'm glad. Because putting Jesus on the cross for us was not fair. If God was fair, I'd be in the ground. I'd be in the dirt. He's not fair. Jesus took our place on the cross. We just want people to know God, don't we? The way that we know him. We got to keep on. We got to keep on trying to reach him. And ask God for wisdom. There's a whole lot of hurting people out on this in this world. And we know what they need. They need this God, our God. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. And I thank y'all for listening. And I'm scared to death, but it is an honor to serve God. And if anyone needs prayers this morning, let's pray about it. If anyone is not a Christian, you want to come into his loving arms, you can do that this morning. He loves you. He's done everything to bring you. And he will continue to wait for you. But not too long. So with that, we'll sing our closing song, or invitation song. Thank you.